Jeffrey and Jessica can't believe how fast time flies. It's almost the end of the year. What did we even do?
Well, Jeffrey, you spent 1,000 hours playing video games this year. And Jessica, you spent 1,000 hours scrolling. Throughout each day, it never felt so bad. They thought they were just relaxing for a few hours. But it adds up. And before they know it, years have passed. Jeffrey makes a plan to go on more adventures, and Jessica says, "New year, new me." But they slip back into old habits, and another 6 months passes. They are losing their lives. It's actually quite sad, and I wish we could help them. Adonis! Adonis lives the most productive life ever. Not a single second wasted. That doesn't mean that he's a hustle and grind influencer selling courses and pretending to work all day, but rather that his day is full of beautiful moments, like deep focus work on his craft, coffee with his wife at sunrise, playing with his children. He's not hustling and grinding all day, but he's still making use of every single minute of the day. And now he sits down young Jeffrey and Jessica to teach them how to do it. In this video, I'm going to teach you 7 ways to slow down time so that you can make more use of your life. And if you're new here, my name is Hamza. Welcome to my channel. On my channel, I teach you how to improve your life with discipline and self-improvement. Because just 5 years ago, I was Jeffrey. I used to wake up and literally only do bad habits all through the day. And now I've gotten to the point where I've built my dream life. I live a happy and full life where I have really purposeful work that contributes to others. I have an amazing social life, love life. I've done so well to connect more and to give back to my family. My health and fitness is so good, and I live such a vibrant, full life because of the things that I teach you here. On this channel, we are 2 million people living life to the fullest. Our community is the best, like full of people who are so disciplined, but also warm and kind at the same time. If you want to be one of us, just subscribe to this channel. It's for free and it helps to grow this channel and this movement. Let's start this video by discussing why time flies as an adult. Remember when we were children, it used to feel like time used to go by so slowly. Like when we had summer holidays from school, like I'm from the UK, so we used to get 6 weeks off around May or June. And that used to feel like genuinely 6 months. Like I don't know if I'm the only one who thought this, but when I was like 12, 13 years old and we had like these summer holidays, I was pretty stupid. I used to think that we were actually off for 6 months for summer. I wasn't a smart kid. I didn't know summer only lasted 3 months and that, you know, the school year is still like 9 months other than that. But for me, it genuinely felt like summers were endless. It felt like December leading up to Christmas was like a whole multiple month, like edging session waiting for like, you know, the big white day. But it used to, like, time used to move by so slowly. And I bet you can remember this, like, when you'd come home from school at 3 or 4 p.m., it used to feel like you had so long before your dad or your mom would come home, and so you could, like, play video games when you got home. Each hour moved at a leisurely pace, and the years felt so endless. But now that we're adults, you've probably felt the same thing that I felt. A year passes by, and you're like, oh, shit, it's December. It's already been 3 months at the start of the year. You know, randomly you'll be on like Instagram or TikTok one day and someone will post one of those things, which is like, oh, 30% of the year has already passed. And you'll look at it and be like, no, it's not. And then you'll be like, oh shit, it's already March. It's already April. And it feels like it just went at a blink of an eye. It feels like a week passes like 2 days from when we were children. Why is it that time feels so quick for us now that we're older? And I think I've come up with a really interesting answer for this. I think it's just relative to how many years you've been alive. Because think about this. For a 10-year-old boy, 1 year is 10% of his life. But for a 30-year-old man, 1 year is only about 3% of his life. That means that every year that's going by is like 3 times quicker and less significant than when we were children, because we have just lived far longer. But that's not all. As we turn into adults, we also get kind of boring. We stick to rigid routines. We go on less adventures. We learn less novel things. You know, when you're a child, your parents take you to more trips and parks. They take you to see your grandparents and your uncle, and you go here and there to meet everyone. When you're an adult, sometimes you take like a holiday. But other than that, you just kind of like come home from work or school and do the same things. Maybe you go to the gym and then you scroll a little bit, you consume, and then you go to sleep, and then you do it again tomorrow, Monday to Friday, and Saturday and Sunday you have to do a bunch of chores, and you also want to rest and do some things you couldn't do on the weekdays, and the weekend just passes so quickly, and then it's back to Monday to Friday again. So that's actually pretty depressing, and I want to tell you something about me. You know how sometimes when you're sat with people and someone will ask the question, what are you afraid of? Like, what's your biggest fear? And most people are like NPCs, and some random fucking girl will say like, sharks! Really? Really, Jessica? In Michigan? Like, you're really scared? You're scared of fucking sharks? You know, just bullshit, right? But whenever someone asks this question, I always tell them the one thing that I actually fear. Because I don't fear, like, too many things, right? I'm not one of these fucking normies, and I think you're probably not, that we wouldn't say, like, oh, sharks. But the one thing that genuinely kind of scares me and makes me feel, like, honestly, quite bad is the passage of time. For the life that you are getting into now, look, you're probably like a young, disciplined person. Everything that you want in life, you can achieve. You know, you want to become successful, so you're learning and you're implementing and you're leveling up in your school, your career and business. You wanted to get fit, so you've been learning how to do that, and you've been going to the gym, and you've wanted to improve mental health, and you know, all these things we have control over, right? We don't have control over the passage of time. That's the one thing that, as like a young, disciplined, masculine man, I feel powerless to. I have like the ultimate power for every other area of life. I have achieved everything I've wanted and then more in only a few years. I've built the physique of my dreams. I've built the business of my dreams. I've retired my family. I've done really well with like my confidence, my charisma, everything I've wanted in life, I have done it. But I cannot slow down time. And for me, that makes me really sad. Like a few days ago, I was driving to the gym and I had my earphones in. And you know when it's a really windy day outside and you hear the sort of noise of the wind, like, like in your ears? It gave me a flashback of when me and my family used to go to the park when I was a child. And we had gotten like one of those camcorders, like, you know, one of the video cameras. But you know, your family didn't even know you have to buy like a certain kind of mic to get rid of the outside noise. And so on a windy day, from the camera's video, all you'd hear is the wind. It reminded me of that noise, the noise of the wind from the camera that we used as children. And that was 20 years ago. Like, I don't know if that hits you as much as it hits me, but when I say that to you, like, honestly, I feel like crying, and like, I can't even explain why. That makes me like terribly sad. I'm still healthy, young, and fit. I have no like big illnesses or anything. I'm really improving my health. So, you know, I'm doing well in life, and I've achieved the things that I've wanted, and I've done the things that I've wanted at this point in time. But still, doesn't that just make you sad to think like you can't get that time back? You can't be a child again. And what makes me even more sad is the passage of time, but for other people. I travel quite a lot, right? Because my work is like being a YouTuber, I can make money online. So I travel a lot, and whenever I come back home to my family's home, I never tell my mom, I always surprise her. So what I usually do is, on the day that I've landed back in the UK, I send her a picture of me in the country I've just been in. So, you know, I'm in Bali, so I'll send her a picture of me in Bali and say something like, oh, it's raining in Bali today. So, you know, she sees it. It's a normal day for her, so she sees it, even though I've just landed in UK. And I end up going home, knocking on the door, and, you know, she opens it, and she's like, wow, like, oh, like, you know, it's crazy for her and everything. And I give her, like, a big hug. And when I hug her, I always notice more silver hairs on her head every time that I've been away for a few months or even a year. We can't slow time down, not even for ourselves, and certainly not for our family, which is just so sad, isn't it? Like that, I just wanted to take a moment to express that, because this is one of them, like, this is like a weird value of mine. And if you're similar to me, I feel like it probably gives you like a similar gut-wrenching pain, the thought of time passing for yourself and for your family. But on a positive note, there is a few things we can do to make better use of our time so that we live a life that's just so full and vibrant for ourselves. And one of the biggest things you can do to feel like time is moving slower is traveling and having novel experiences. Here's like a really interesting thought practice. I really want you to think about this for like 10 seconds, okay? Imagine to yourself right now, what kind of lifestyle would make time feel like it slowed down like we were children again? It's such an interesting question, especially for people who like to be disciplined, because the answer 100% would not be routine. A lot of us who want to become quite sort of our life to a routine, we wake up at the same time every day, we eat at the same time every day, we go to the gym at the same time every day. And that's actually pretty terrible for the perception of time, because time really slips by when you're living to a routine. It would be the complete opposite of that, which is to live with no routine at all. So my answer to this question, because I thought about it, you know, when I was like thinking about what I'll say for this video, and I thought about it, okay, how could you slow down time the most? And I called it immersive adventures. Just imagine this. Imagine, I've seen some people on social media who are doing like some crazy immersive traveling experiences. Like, for example, there's guys who are walking across the world. Like, it's going to take them 3, 5, 10 years to do it. There's people who are cycling across the world. They're doing these crazy adventures. You can imagine, because there's no routine at all and there's so many novel experiences. Their like 1 month probably passes at the same perception of time as like our 6 months. They've probably slowed down time so much because of how many new novel experiences they're having and how significant of the life that they are living. So that was like my ultimate answer, which of course, you know, it's pretty far-fetched spending a few years to walk across the world. But it's something that I think was cool to mention for you, because that might be in a weird way some bucket list thing that you want to do eventually. Some trip, some experience like that will not only feel like the time you're doing it has been stretched out because of how long the day feels, but also, you know, what's quite interesting with traveling and having these novel type experiences, it will mark a specific period in the calendar for you to look back on. Like when you think about this year, think of the months of this year, there's usually a specific thing you did in that month that marks it. Like for example, for me, in March of this year, 2025, I had a kickboxing fight. And so the months before that, I was just training, going to the gym every day. And so that's like in my mind, the perception of this year and late last year. It's like, okay, kickboxing season. Then after the kickboxing fight in March, I went back to my normal weightlifting gym and I got back into bodybuilding and I regained all the size that I lost. You have like these specific periods where you look back over the year and you can remember what you did in those months. If you live a life of just routine and no new experiences, no new people, nothing like adventurous, you don't have like a specific point in the year to look back to mark like a checkpoint. And so this is why things like traveling can be so nice. And so the ideas I've given you here are pretty far-fetched and, you know, we might not even do them ever, but it's something to maybe try and create in your life. But still, traveling and moving somewhere else is actually completely reasonable these days. There's people from basically every country in the world who now are making money online, and you can too. And when you make money online, that opens up the world for you to go and move somewhere else and try this place for a month, try this place for a month and see where you like. And this will make your time and your life feel so much more full. I did this last year when I came to Bali and my plan was to be here for like 2-3 weeks. And now it's been like 1.5 years later. And I swear to God, almost every day I wake up with a smile on my face, so happy that I'm here, that I'm living like this lifestyle here on this little island. The second way to make better use of your time is to understand that screen time is probably the 80% of time loss. Of all the ways that we waste time, it's on screens. We all know this, right? Everyone's screen time's like too big these days. It's actually not even crazy to spend 6 hours a day just on your phone, never mind your computer, never mind also your TV and whatever. And this is something that I've struggled with as well. You know, like I'm still a normal person. I still end up scrolling and stuff, but maybe not so much anymore. I have finally found the way to stop screen time from taking over your life. And I have literally not been on Instagram for about a month now. I have not consumed any content for about a month now. I've not seen any comments, analytics, anything like bad on the internet. I've actually not seen it for about a month. This is basically the longest period that I've actually made progress away from like screen time. And you should hopefully be taking this quite seriously, because basically it's the $1 billion question. How do you control the screens instead of letting the screens control you? And I think I have actually found the way. And it's just like a multiple step thinking process. So this is exactly what you have to do. First of all, imagine that your baseline foundation of technology use is zero. Like you are just this wild man. and now add on specific things that you would use technology for on top of that. So imagine if you were like this wild man, almost like a caveman, but in the modern times, what screen use would you add on that was absolutely essential and extremely high return on investment? So really think about that for a second, because you'll probably answer quite similarly to a lot of people, which is that, okay, well, you know, I'd want a bank account. I still need a phone. Maybe like for me, I'm a YouTuber. I'd still have a camera. That's not bad. Okay. Maybe I still need a laptop, because with my camera, I plug it in, I upload it. And then on my laptop, I can message my team and they will send me the video and I can review it. That's not a bad thing at all. You would add on these specific things on a foundation of zero instead of what most people do. How do most people try and reduce their screen time? They look at what they're doing right now, which is a foundation of like 5,000 different uses of screen time. And then they think, okay, well, I'll just try to quit Instagram. I'll try to go below the foundation. But since their life revolves so much about screen time, they end up quitting Instagram for like a day and then getting it back again. Trying to live the normal life and just getting rid of one or two uses of screen time never worked for me significantly and sustainably. And for most people, it doesn't seem to work as well. It doesn't work to remove one or two specific things from your current life. You have to almost reimagine your life from like the caveman level foundation and think about what would you add on top of that. That was the first visualization that I did. And I visualized myself living like a wild man. Like I've got this big bushy beard, but I still have like a camera. I still have like a car and stuff. You know, I'm not like completely against technology. There's brilliant uses of technology. I would record my videos, and then from that point, someone else takes care of everything else. So for example, my editor uploads it to my channel, and then, you know, everything else is done by other people. And so I don't really even actually have to be on the internet that much for my business. And I had this fantasy once where I'm like this wild man. I'm living like this natural life. You just, for some reason, you're like 10 times happier than the average person these days because of the fact that you're not so chronically online. And the fantasy was that one day someone comes up to me, like a fan, a follower of mine, and he says, "Oh, you Hamza, oh, I really like your videos. Congratulations on 7 million subscribers." And I saw myself in third person looking at him like, "Huh? Oh, I thought I was on 3 million. The fantasy was being so detached from the internet that I wouldn't even know like which million subscribers that I was on. Obviously, that's like a fantasy, but I wanted to start to recreate this into my life. And so I realized there's so many things that I use like the screens and internet for that are actually not good for me at all. So that was the first step to me making massive progress, reducing my screen time, was having this like visualization, this fantasy of the wild man, and asking myself, okay, imagine if my baseline of technology use was zero, what little specific tasks and uses would I add on top of that? Then the second thing I did, and this is so interesting, I researched dopamine. For some reason, when I learn about it, I just instantly become like 5 times more productive for like a year straight after just learning about it for like an hour. It's insane. So what I've done for you is I've made a few videos on dopamine, which are on my channel. If you go and study them after this, you'll hopefully go through the same thing that I went through. When I learn or recap knowledge about dopamine, for some reason, it just stops like the craving for bad habits and bad screen time, like immediately. Like it's so hard to explain, but hopefully you get the same impact that I did. I did this about a month ago and I created my own dopamine detox protocol, which I actually outline in the videos that we just showed you. If you really got to watch me for 24 hours, honestly, like you'd be so proud of me. You'd be thinking like, shit, like this guy actually really fucking practices what he preaches. I wake up and the first thing I do is 20 minutes meditation. Then I come and work on YouTube for about an hour. Then I eat rice and steak every morning. Then I go to the gym and I do like this breath work thing in the gym, and I train hypertrophy, you know, like bodybuilding. And then I go stand outside and I go to the sauna, ice bath and stuff. Then I come back and I do 40 minutes of meditation. I take a friend out for lunch. Like I live like this really healthy dopamine life where my screen time and internet use is actually so low now. Like my phone has been black and white for literally a month. Like have a look at this. Like you can't even see it. Just a big white fucking block. Like I've literally not even had Instagram on my phone. Not like I deleted it and then I got it back in like a day or something. No, like I literally haven't even downloaded it for like a month. Like I just don't want to be on the internet that much, and I'm using it so intentionally because screen time is one of the biggest wastes of our time and our life. So this section here is so valuable for you to take so seriously. The next thing you can do to make better use of your time is to stop pussying out of uncomfortable conversations. If you don't want to go to university, grab your balls. Make sure there's two. Look your parents in the eyes and tell them, I can't believe how many young people will go and live a life that's inauthentic to them, waste years in university or in some job that they don't even give a shit about, just because in some really fucked up way, your parents are trying to live vicariously through you. Like your parents are being like a parasite inside of your skin. They want you to live the life that they wanted. Like, that's just disgusting. They don't even see you as like a human being. And this is the same with university, with the type of job you go into, even the clothes that you wear. You need to get into the habit of having uncomfortable conversations where you look at people who are trying to pressure you into being a certain kind of way and tell them, no, that life is not for me. If you have like pretty abusive parents, they won't take this lightly. And so what I would recommend, which is crazy for me to say, but I'm just gonna tell you my real recommendation, even though this is not gonna sound nice, just lie. Honestly, just lie to your parents. If your parents are extremely abusive and they will, for example, beat you or threaten you or hurt you if, for example, you don't go to university when they're forcing you to, but you want to be like an entrepreneur, so there's no fucking point in you going to uni. Just look them in the eyes and say, yep, I've applied for uni and we'll see my results soon, and you haven't. Oh yeah, yeah, I've accepted the, you know, this university, and you haven't. If your parents are forcing you to get a job, you act like you've gotten one and you just go to like a cafe nearby and work on a business on your laptop instead. It sounds crazy and scary right now, but it's going to be such a good story that you tell people in a few years' time when you're successful. Getting into uncomfortable conversations is a skill that quite literally will save you probably about 10 years of your life. Like, think about it. How many years of a human's life do you think the average person wastes because of the fact that they're not having the uncomfortable conversations? Like, they've not broken up with the person that they should break up with. They've not stopped being friends with the people they should stop being friends with. They go to university when they don't want to. They work some job when they don't want to. You could probably say about 10 years people waste just because they're kind of scared of having a difficult conversation, right? So if you level up this skill, you can save like 10 years of your life living more authentically. And I'll give you the number one tip for this. If there's a difficult conversation you need to have with someone, it is just starting the conversation that's the constraint. We will spend ages thinking of the best way to put it and whatever. And you know, we're trying to like really be quite tactical with everything we say. But that's kind of like perfectionism. And as we know, perfectionism is not really a good thing. It's better to just start, right? So for example, I've wanted to break up with a girl that I was with a few years ago. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it because I thought maybe I'd regret it. And it just felt so difficult, so impossible. How do I say it without hurting her? And I swear to God, I stayed with her for like an extra 6 months, even though almost every time I'd hang out with her, I would think in my mind that I've got to split up with her. Like, it was just such a stupid waste of time, not only for myself, but also for her as well, because she was still a nice, like, good person. And so after months of this, one day I just got so lucky. We were sat together and my mind just basically gave me the awareness to say, if you just start the conversation now, even if you do it in a bit of a sort of abrupt way, or you know, it's a bit stupid what you said, you'll actually get the outcome that you want. So abruptly I looked to her and I said, I'm leaving. And that's what started the conversation for her to be like, oh, okay. She understood, like, she basically wanted to end the relationship as well. Both of us were just kind of scared to start the conversation. But the moment that I said it, she accepted it. We talked about it. And then eventually I left. I moved back to my family's home because me and her were living together. And that was like the start of this sort of new life for me, where I got onto self-improvement. I became disciplined and I built like such a good life for myself. What I realized from that moment was I just had to start the uncomfortable conversation. So for example, if you've got these old friends that you don't respect one bit, you know that you shouldn't be hanging out with people you don't respect. But it feels so uncomfortable to tell them that. And you can consider just ghosting them, but that feels quite rude and disrespectful as well. So all you have to do is just start, maybe text them, maybe call them and just say, hey, I just want to let you know I am going down like a different path. I'm sorry, I'm not really interested in like our friendship anymore. And the thing is, that sounds a bit awkward. Maybe there's a better way to say it. This probably is, right? But it doesn't really matter the way that you bring something like this up. It just matters that you've done it. You are not at the level where you can go and say the perfect string of words to this person. You just have to abruptly start the conversation. And when you've done that, it feels kind of awkward, but the other person will just kind of ease into the conversation and then That's it. You're having the conversation. Don't procrastinate for months or for years just because you're trying to like script the entire thing, because that's not how human conversations go. A bad use of time, especially now for a lot of people, is working on pointless tasks. And for this section, what I'll do is I'll show you a clip from a full guide that I just made, which is titled How to Work Less and Earn More. Let's travel back in time to the late 1800s in Italy. An economist named Wilfredo Pareto was walking through his garden and he noticed something strange. 20% of the pea pods produced 80% of the peas. Just a small part of the plants were giving almost all of the food. And Pareto was curious. He wondered, does this happen anywhere else? So he looked at the land ownership records of Italy and he found the exact same pattern. 20% of the people owned 80% of the land. He checked income distributions and it was the same pattern. He checked wealth across other countries and it was the same pattern. A small number created almost everything. A large number created almost nothing. Pareto then spent years collecting data from different fields, agriculture, business, economics, and everywhere he looked, the rule kept showing up. A minority of causes create the majority of results. And that's when the idea became famous, the Pareto Principle, now known as the 80-20 rule. Only a small number of things that we do actually give us the result that we want. Most of the things that we do are just unnecessary, pointless, stupid, and we just do them to kind of feel busy and productive. So the idea here is that you can save so much time of your life by figuring out which tasks in your career or your business actually get you the results and double down on them, and then just start to ignore or eliminate or delegate the other tasks. Like for example, as a YouTuber, the big task that makes a difference is making the YouTube video, scripting the video, recording the video. Almost everything else can either be outsourced to someone else, like the editing, like my editors editing this video. Say hello, Gabe. And then all the other random tasks that YouTubers will do, where they'll change their profile picture and they'll reply to every comment and then they'll go on other people's videos and comment on there. It's like all of that is basically not going to get you any extra results. It's just a pointless task that you're doing to feel busy. And so that little section, the animation that we just showed you, came from a full guide that I made, kind of like a course that I made for free on YouTube, which is titled How to Work Less and Earn More. It's on my channel if you want to go watch it in detail. Next, choose the shorter commute. I remember reading a study ages ago, which I found so interesting, and they had two groups of people. One group of people live in a nicer place, but their commute to work is longer. The other group of people live in a worse place, but their commute to work is shorter. Which group of people do you think are happier? The people who live in a nicer place or the people who live in a worse place? It's actually the people who live in a worse place. Why? Because how nice your home is doesn't actually increase your happiness as much as the sort of materialistic world tries to convince you. Commuting time, like how long your commute is to work or school, is one of the biggest sources of misery in people, because it's just dead time. You're just driving and you're stuck in traffic and it's kind of boring and agitating. It's oddly kind of uncomfortable and exhausting, and it's just like such empty time. And you can try and be productive and listen to an audiobook, but obviously it's not the same thing as like, you know, focusing and actually learning. It's just dead time. Because the truth is, you don't even need to spend like a crazy amount of time in your home. You know, your home is for sleeping and maybe you work there. The idea is that whenever you do move out, or if you're looking for places to go to now, like a gym or a certain job, choose the one that is closer. I can't believe that when I was 21 years old, I had three different companies that called me on the same day to offer me a job, three different ones. One of them paid a lot less, so I ignored that one right away. But the other two, one of them paid £17,500 a year, and the other one paid £17,000 a year. A £500 difference. I took the one that paid £500 more. That one had a commute that was 40 minutes more per way. The £17,000 one, the commute was like a 3-minute walk from my apartment. I literally, when I look back, I'm like, I was such a retard. I can't believe I took that option, right? So make sure you're taking into account the commute that you're going to, whether you are at home right now and you're choosing a gym to go to, or eventually you go move, let's say you wanna go travel somewhere. Think of the gym that you're gonna go to every day, think of the workplace you're gonna go to every day, and try to choose a place which is as close as possible rather than the place that's further away, but it's nicer. The sixth way to make better use of your time is to live slowly. In the modern day, we live with like such a rush of needing to make progress as fast as possible. And also just like in the micro moments, just being rushed with everything we do. And living slowly is something that I'm like getting more into now. And to be honest, I've got to give you a disclaimer. It could be because of the fact that like I've already built up quite a lot of success that now I have like the privilege to live slowly. And maybe I did need to live with speed when I was younger. But that being said, I think when you are choosing to have the philosophy of living slowly, it does seem to be like a competitive advantage because everyone is living rushed and hurried these days. That's like what's normal. Choosing to live slowly is kind of like a mindset to think to yourself, okay, what things rush me? I'm going to try and remove them from my schedule because I don't want to feel rushed. Like, ask yourself, does a powerful person feel rushed? Would a king be rushed? No, the king would arrive at like whatever fucking time he wants. It's the peasants, the slaves who would feel rushed. It is a sign of weakness and poverty to be rushed. So living slowly is actually a sign of strength. But a lot of people will say, okay, well, I'll live slowly when I'm already rich. What's interesting is for me personally, I actually only became rich by living slowly in the first place. Back in 2020, 2021, when I was on those seasons of dopamine detoxing, I was meditating an hour a day. I was spending hours exercising in nature every single day. I was reading for hours. I was not like hurried and rushed. I actually had so much time that I used to do such wholesome things. Like I would just go for like a massive walk or run outside. And I would just try to explore like my area more and run into like roads and parts of my sort of town that I'd never seen before. I was living such a slow pace of life and it felt like my brain was just so optimized for making the best videos possible. And I think that's what gave me such massive success in only like a year of starting this business. Wanting success and money really quickly, like too quickly, in my opinion, seems to be such a big problem for young people these days. I still think that you can achieve massive success, let's say $10,000 a month, which is more than 99% of people make. It's more than like professionals, doctors and stuff make, right? $10,000 a month, I actually think it's fairly reasonable to hit that within about 3 to 5 years of starting a business as like a young person with no experience right now. It's actually like too quick for people who are stuck in like the rat race. They couldn't imagine making this much money in only a few years. But in terms of people who are now researching online businesses, it's actually kind of a slower pace compared to what you're promised from all these people who try and sell you shit and they'll tell you that you can make 10K a month in 6 months or something. What I've found time and time again of helping people to make businesses and make money online is that the guys who are too ambitious with the speed of the result that they want and they want to make a number like 10K a month within like a year of starting a business, they end up making zero, quitting, relapsing, and turning back into Jeffries. It's the guys who are basically fine with almost not making any money at all for about 6 months, 12 months. They're the ones that I see actually within a year start making 2K a month, 3K a month, 4K a month, and then it goes up to 5 and 7 and 8, and you live a fucking awesome life at that point. It's better to consistently grow than it is to maybe get like a fast spike in growth and then a plateau or a dip. We live in an age where like everyone's looking for fast cash, right? So everyone our age is like into crypto and trading and shitcoins, cum rocket 2000 or whatever, and NFTs and all this other weird shit. I personally, for me, whenever I see someone who does shit like that, like they're just gambling basically. And they'll try and cope and say, no, actually, Hamza, like trading's actually real. No, it's just fucking gambling. Just shut the fuck up. People are doing it because they're trying to make quick cash without actually helping the world, without contributing to others. They're just trying to get rich. And those people, usually most of the time, they're unsuccessful and poor. And when they do make money, they flex a lot and then they lose it all within a year. It's kind of like how people who get into like criminal activity, they sell drugs. Yeah, sure. You know, some guy who sells drugs when he's like 19 years old and he makes like £5,000 in like 1 month. That's crazy. But 6 months from now, he gets robbed and he loses £10,000. And then he also gets put into jail and now he's not making money for 6 months. It's like there's a 100% tax on money that comes to you too quickly. For the people who win the lottery, a lot of them just go back to being broke within like a few months or a few years because there's a tax on fast results. If the result at the end is the same, it's nicer to just grow slower and more consistently rather than to have like a massive spike and then like a dip in a plateau. So slower gains is actually so underrated. And I don't blame you if you disagree with me for now on this. It's only once you've lived enough life and you've had fast gains and slow gains that you realize like actually slow progress is actually so much more sustainable, and your life quality just seems better. And also for the topic of this video, your use of time just feels so much nicer. The seventh and final way to make better use of your time is to add in high value things that are worth it. There was a study I remember reading years ago that compared people getting an extra $30,000 a year to their salary, and these were people just working like 9 to 5, so $30,000 a year extra was very significant. And they compared these people to people who just went on a daily walk. Which one boosts your life more? Going for a walk every day or 30K extra? The walk. Now, of course, these were probably people who were already making like, you know, decent money, 30, 40, 50K beforehand. So they had maybe some form of diminishing returns from the extra salary. But it just goes to show that a lot of us just think about making money when actually there's so many things in life that boost your life more than money. Like, for example, going on a daily walk boosts your happiness more than making an extra 30K a year. Like, that's actually insane. You know how in terms of health, there's been this sort of culture that smoking is the worst thing you can do for your health. That's been widely proven. It knocks off like 15 to 20 years off your life expectancy. It's the number one, like, biggest killer. Actually, turns out it's only the second biggest killer. Loneliness is worse. Loneliness kills you faster than smoking, and smoking is worldwide seen as the worst thing for your health. It turns out that not having social connection, not having friends, is actually worse for your health than being a smoker. You don't understand how significant that is. You know how in almost every fucking building around the world, there's signs that say no smoking because that's how bad it is for your health. Imagine if there were signs like no being lonely. Like, there should be like anti-lonely signs because being lonely and not having social connection is so bad for you. And so on the other hand, having social connection and putting time into your relationships is the best thing you could possibly do for your health, better than even quitting smoking, better than even starting to exercise and eating clean and meditating and sleeping is literally social connection. Like, how insane is that? Like, how significant it is. So add in some habits where you have social connection in your day. It's so normal to be a young person and the only social connection you have is like on the internet and maybe in school and stuff, but then when you finish school you hardly see your friends. One of the habits that I've added to my schedule recently is that I have a social lunch every single day. So every single day I literally invite someone to go and get lunch with me, and I also have been setting an intention to actually go to the gym with people as well, because it's just so much more fun when you're with someone and you create this friendship. And with these friendships, like, your use of time is the highest it could possibly be. Like, there is no better use of time than being with good people, especially if you also do some good habit at the same time. Like, you go to the gym with someone who's a good person who you are, like, you know, developing a connection with. That is quite literally like one of the single best uses of your life. And that's also one of the things that we sacrifice most on our pursuit of success and money. Success and money are very, very important things, but so is your social life and your health and your time with your community. So make sure you add this in, because you will feel like your use of your time in your life has just drastically improved. If you become like an action taker from this video and you start to implement some of the things that we spoke about today, and let's say you start messaging someone to come to the gym with you every day and you now have like a gym partner in it and the sessions are actually more fun and you are laughing a lot and you've got this great friendship and you're doing these other things, like, you know, in the future, you remember the study I told you about the commute. And when you move out somewhere or you're thinking about which job to get, whatever, you remember, oh yeah, I don't want to have a long commute. You are going to make so much better use of your time. The one resource that you can never get back, the most valuable thing in life, is time, not money. And I really hope this video helps you to take this more seriously and to just get more out of your limited time here. Do the hard work, especially when you don't feel like it. Mwah. By the way, no pressure, but there's a few links underneath this video that you can check out if you want to have a look at my paid programs. When you trust me enough and you feel like my free content has already changed your life, you can have a look at those.